Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It's the astrology. It's the astrologer and the alchemist. And this is Saturday, September 4th, our first Saturday in September. And we're getting closer to the Labor Day holiday and closer to the end of summer. And I'm Gemma Joffe Loss, the alchemist, and my colleague, the wonderful astrologer Ann Orderly is with us. Hey, Ann.
Hi, Gemma Jha, Ann Orderly here at the Bright Red Desk on a beautiful, sunny Saturday morning. Yay. Happy Labor Day.
Happy Labor Day, yes.
We're ready for the end. Well, I'm not really ready for the end of summer. I don't feel like it happened yet. I mean, I'm like, wait, how can it be September already? I mean, this year has flown by, you know.
It has. Yeah, and this summer
very
was...
quickly.
I can't say I enjoyed the summer. I mean, this summer was in New York City. Let me just put it that way. We had, when it wasn't overly hot, it was overly humid, or it was raining.
Yep.
We had very few days that were totally enjoyable. I mean, we know it's New York, and we know it's August, but this was, and even July, it was just a not too pleasant summer. I won't be sorry to see the back of it, but you're right. I'm looking forward to still some nice days like this, pleasant days where.
Yeah, this is my kind of weather, where it's like 70,
yes.
72. Yeah, just the nice breeze. I mean, I got up, I was getting coffee in the, you know, I have a kitchen window, and the breeze was coming into the window, and the wind chimes were ringing, and, you know, it's just very lovely, so.
It is. Yeah, it is. So, and before we get started on what we got to talk about, new moon and all the other stuff.
Yeah, new moon on new moon, yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want you to share about your upcoming webinar.
Oh, right. Okay, thanks. I do a podcast on Astrology Hub every week, weekly weather, kind of like similar to the one I do on Sunday night here on Blog Talk Radio. And one of the things that they said, you know, you always talk about the asteroids. And I'm like, I do. And they were like, you want to do a webinar on it. So it's two-week webinar, this week and next week. The 9th and the 16th, and then there's a follow-up on the Monday. There's a follow-up question and answer period on Monday the 13th and Monday the 20th. So you get an hour and a half webinar and then an hour Q&A. So we're going to talk about the first one. On the 9th, we're going to talk about the Big Four series, which is and part of the reason I like asteroids when I do readings is there's only two women in the sky, the moon, mother and nurturing, and Venus, the love goddess, right? Well, this gives us four more women, and of course they were discovered in the 1800s, beginning of the 1800s, 1801 through 6, and they were named after the female goddesses. So one of them is Ceres, which is mothering and nurturing and giving birth to things, like Mother Earth, like cereal. One of them is Pallas Athena, which is the daughter and the strategic warrior. And one is Juno, which is why people get buried in June, the bride, the mother, the wife, the partner. And then the last one is Vesta, which is the home or hearth, or the daughter asteroid. And so... And, you know, I look at when someone says, my house going to sell, I look at Vesta. You know, they're moving. Usually Juno is when you're getting married or you're getting divorced or when you're meeting your beloved. So they're really helpful, you know, and they give a lot of different nuanced energy about the feminine energy. And, of course, they have their own myths, so they play out. And then the second week, the one on the 16th, is all the other asteroids up there. Not all of them, but a good chunk of them. You know, so we're going to talk about Hidalgo, who is the asteroid that helps people. We're going to talk about Nemesis, and you know, when Nemesis is active, when you meet your Nemesis, and you're going to teach you how to find your asteroids using astro.com if you don't have astrology software that has it. And so so it's going to be learn the asteroids and learn the goddesses. So they're very helpful, and there's an alignment that happens with them when you have an asteroid aspecting one of your planets. The mythology of the asteroid is usually part of your story, and so it's a very interesting, very helpful way of looking at the heavens and adding extra depth to your analysis. You know, like what your purpose is. So it's kind of fun. And so it's they suggested it, and I said yes. And so it'll be two lectures. They'll be recorded. You'll get handouts. you'll get, like, you know, I when I taught the one with all the bunch of asteroids, we go through like 40 asteroids. When I taught that one, I've had students print it out as like a little book so they can flip through and reference, oh, what's going on with this asteroid, you know, with that person.
Yeah.
So kind of fun.
Yeah. And the key is, I'm so glad to teach us how to show us how to find it on astro.com. There's not all the time when I print out a chart. That's because I just don't know how to do it right yet. I want to be able to bring in, you know, a layer and add another layer, and I want to add those, you know, because all the years I've known you, you've taught me how to go to you, and I think I had to give Monty credit. Both of you two taught me the value of the asteroid, you know, and stuff. So thank you for that. I'm looking forward to this class. I shall be there.
Yeah. Well, like they're very active, you know. So when they're up and running, you know, like Niobe, who is an asteroid around losing her children, so she was very active with Mars one time recently, and that was when the girls' school was blown up, and like 150 little girls were killed. So sometimes their stories are harder, but you can also see,
stories,
you know, Orpheus. If you have Orpheus active, a lot of times you're really good at music. You're good musicians. So they're very helpful. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Very helpful. Excellent. No, this is
they're a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So the way you find it is you go to Astrology Hub Asteroids you go to Astrology Hub and then / asteroids.
Yeah.
And so the workshop
is
going to be at 3 o'clock.
Eastern time? Eastern time, I think that is,
3 o'clock Eastern time both days. And then the follow-up questions are also 1 o'clock, 1 o'clock on Mondays.
Yeah.
Or 3 o'clock on Mondays. Yeah. Or at the same time on Mondays.
I had to warn everyone about the I said I'm sitting in my front room, and I have three lovely large windows, and I have two of them open, but that means that we also will have some more surround sound anytime we have an emergency vehicle, but we just had one, so I'm letting one know. I can't mute because if I mute, then you won't hear A&O myself, so you have to just
bear with it.
It does pass.
They're noisy. Well, and last week we were talking about the Hammer of Thor, right, that was happening on Wednesday. And, you know, I talked about that, and then I got an email from somebody saying, hey, you forgot to talk about the Hammer of Thor with Siri. There were two other little ones, fast movers. There were two other little fast-moving hammers, one with Ceres and one with Juno, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
And that was the day that Texas banned abortion. You know, the law came into effect. And, of course, Ceres' children. And Hammer of Thor, we're going to knock out your ability to, choose to elect to terminate your pregnancy if you don't know you're pregnant in 6 weeks by the time of the heartbeat. And then, of course, Juno, Hammer of Thor, you know, partners. I mean, babies don't get in there. babies don't get in there unless somebody helps. You know, you have a partner to help create it. So.
Right.
I was reading an interesting piece about unwanted pregnancies, you know, and they are invariably, you know, two people, you know, so you don't want a pregnancy. You got to kind of watch that.
Yeah, both have to. Exactly.
Both sides are responsible.
We
yeah.
still can have the fun, but we have the technology now to prevent it happening. That's possible.
We do not have to have pregnancies, yes.
Right, you know, but it's right. It has to be on both parties, you know. So we have the new moon is in Libra. Wait, what's the new moon?
No, it's in Virgo. The new moon's in Virgo.
It is in Virgo. It's in Virgo.
Yeah, and it's on Saturday night. Let me pull up the chart. It is a lovely new moon. It's at 14 Virgo. And one of the features of it is going to be that it has a trine to Uranus. So it's Monday, September 6th, which is at 8:51 p.m., and the moon is at 14:38 Virgo, and Uranus, the planet of how I'm getting everything up and moving, is at 14:39 Virgo. So it's almost an exact trine to the Uranus, and then it's approaching a trine to Pluto, and Mars is at 24:51, Virgo, and it is trine to Pluto at 24:31. So this is a very powerful moon for getting stuff done, right? It kind of launches this real forward motion energy around, I want to get stuff done. On the East Coast, the moon is in the sixth house because it's right after sunset. You know, it's at 8:51. And the midheaven is Capricorn, 14 for the East Coast, you know, United States and New York. And that, of course, forms a grand trine with the moon at 14, moon and sun at 14 and Uranus at 14, Taurus. So there's a grand trine in Earth. So it's a very juicy, really powerful, let's get stuff done moon. I had written someone, you know, that I wanted to work on. I wanted to start working on this thing. And they said, you know, whatever. I said, no, this is a really powerful moon to get things moving. And it also has in a mystic rectangle with...
Oh, what is that?
And mystic rectangles are, you know, they kind of inspire you to get stuff done. And this one has Juno, which is the planet of partnership, the south node, which is fate, karma, and Chiron in Aries, which is ideas, Ceres in Libra, which is partnering, and Mercury in Libra, which is partnering. So we have a mystic rectangle in air and fire. So when that happens, it's a very inspirational mystic rectangle, and it is companioned by a hard rectangle. Now, hard rectangles, Muhammad Ali had that. You know, he had a hard rectangle, and it led to his mystic rectangle. So he was like, I am getting out of the slums of Louisville. I had a hard beginning, but I'm going to fight my way out of them, you know. So and he did. So when we have a hard rectangle, we often recognize there's a challenge to the energy, but the hard rectangle inspires us to take action to get stuff done. So it's an interesting one. It's a really interesting mystic rectangle combined with that grand trine in Earth. There's also a finger of God with Mars and Virgo as the apex of it, and the legs being Jupiter in air and Eris in air. So there's a lot of energy around being annoyed about something and taking action, which I think we're, you know, we're kind of seeing with the Supreme Court stuff. And People are, you know, people are pretty contentious these days. Like, I'm going to take action on this because you just really irritated me, you know. So it's a really, really juicy new moon. And I encourage people, you know, to do a new moon ritual. It's 8:51 Monday, 8:51 p.m. Monday when you get home from the holiday. And, of course, the moon is in Virgo then, and then it'll be in Libra. And the moon goes void with a trine to Pluto, so that's also very productive to getting things done. And then there's a Libra moon and a Scorpio moon right after it. The Libra moon has harder, has a little bit of a harder aspect, but not horrible. So when we see that, the Libra moon's last aspect is 12:48 a.m., so it joins up with Venus. And then right after it joins with Venus later that day on the 10th, Venus goes into Scorpio. So Venus is at the last degrees. And then the Scorpio moon, because sometimes you know, you don't do the new moon right, and you can't really do it right on the day because you're busy. Then the Scorpio moon on the 11th and 12th next weekend, 1:33 a.m., it goes void with a sextile to Mars. So, and I also will put a plug in for anybody in the New York area. My assistant's play opens on the 11th, next weekend. So if you are in the New York City area, it's open through the end of October. It's called Persuasion, she wrote it based on the Jane Austen novel, and is happening at the Bedlam Theater Company down in 4th Street in the Village at Connolly Theater. So I put a plug in for Rose because you get to see Rose. She's starring in it, and she wrote it. So.
Yeah, I remember when she did that. Remember, right? A whole bunch of us, you invite a whole bunch
of us. We went for the reading,
Yeah.
Now it's a play.
It was so enjoyable. The play was enjoyable, seeing Rose and Anne, you know, it was a collection of Anne's friends and teachers and mates, and it was just a whole bunch of us there having good times to be together. And So, okay, so that's all.
I'm always like, let's drag an audience and watch it, you know.
Yes, yes.
You know, starving
yes.
theater people, you always want to support them. So, and theater's open.
Right.
So it's a really cute little theater. And this guy does really interesting stuff. I'd gone to see the director. It's his theater company. I'd gone to see The Crucible last year before, 2 years ago, I guess now, before the COVID came.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's just, he does really interesting performances. He stages it really interestingly. So, yeah, so that's her play. So anybody wants to attend, most supported, you know, go up to her afterwards and say, hi, I heard about you. Come back soon. Anne's missing you.
Yes, indeed. You know, Rose has been,
Well, she's been with me 11 and a half years, so it's a long
Jupiter
cycle.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's been Rose, and you know, for those of you that haven't met Rose, she's so calm, cool, and collected, very cerebral, but feels and thinks very deeply. You know, may not show, but she really goes deep on things. But she keeps Anne together, and then when I would be over there, we're going over our stuff, you know, our videos, different things, and she would keep up. She turned around and say, "No, but you said this," and he's like, "Oh yeah, he did say it. We're going to do that." She keeps you on point, you know. So you put an answer, a better colleague, and you know, I enjoy, you know, her energy and stuff. What is she?
Yeah,
is she
she's delightful.
Is she a Capricorn? No, she's
a Taurus. She's a Taurus.
Ah, but you had that one
Taurus with a Libra moon.
Right, you had that one assistant who was a Gemini like me. Maybe she and I got along very well because we were both
Kate. Yeah, her mom died recently. Her mom recently passed.
We
guys really hit it off. Yeah.
Yes.
She was a lot of fun.
She was a lot of fun. And she and Rose together were just I missed her.
Yeah, they were a great team. They got along really well.
Great.
They're
team.
Air. Really, you know, they're two air signs. They really complement each other. So.
Yeah.
But yeah, Kate's mom was sick the last couple of years, and so last year. The blessing of COVID was, you know, she's an actress and worked as a waiter after she left working for me. She worked for me for about 7 years. She left in the spring of 2019. But because everything shut down, she was able to go home and help take care of her mom. So she had a nice, you know, she moved back in with her folks and, you know, and really helped with her parents. So
You know, I've had a few friends that had that opportunity to help a loved one. You know, make that transition and leave this dimension and move on. That's a blessing. You know, that we're all going, but to have that time to spend with someone, it's such a closure that I know when I spent time with my mother, you can't. You know, that's something that's you know, you can't. There's no value you can put on that. So when you have the opportunity of not having to work or don't have the stressors of a day job or commitment, and you can be there for that person. You know, so that's a blessing. Now we have Mercury retrograde coming in on us pretty soon, right?
Yes. Yes, we have Mercury retrograde coming. Mercury is he entered Libra, and he'll be in Libra until November 7th, Gemini. So hopefully everybody becomes a little nicer. Libra is the sign of being polite, the hope of being polite. And I have actually seen that a little bit. I have a friend who, this woman tried to pick a fight with her about vaccinations, and she just was like, I'm not going to fight with you about vaccinations.
Yeah.
So Mercury goes retrograde on the 27th, and it enters its shadow on the 7th, this week, actually, because it goes retrograde to 10/23. So it enters its shadow on the 7th of September.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it will be retrograde until the 17th of October, and then it clears its shadow and goes into Libra on the 6th, and it stations on 25, 28 Libra. 28 minutes. So this week we find out when we get to the 7th, 3 days from now, we find out what we're doing on our Mercury retrograde. And I like it when it's in Libra because generally we get a lot of writing done, we get a lot of accomplished. There's a lot of stuff that goes on. But yes, Mercury is in his not one of his favorite signs, but it's a sign he performs well in because Mercury does seek to find balance. You know, in Virgo, mm-hmm. he's seeking to figure out how to analyze stuff, and in Gemini, yeah. he's figuring out the patterns. But in Libra, right. he's kind of like, well, let's be balanced. You do this, I do that, yeah. you know, and he's much yeah. more interested in conversation. So I'm kind of hoping we'll get out of this highly critical stuff that we're in and into more collaborative communication. A girl can hope, you know.
Right, right.
Say again?
But Mercury starts out in Virgo and then moves into Libra for the retrograde? Is that what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, he went into Libra this week. He went into Libra Monday afternoon.
Okay.
So right now, on the new moon, he'll be at 10. 10 Libra.
Okay.
Today he trines Saturn. So we're making agreements mm-hmm. and partnering with people and saying, yes, I'm going to go do this. So, but he is going to be in Libra till November 7th. So that's a nice long time for us to maybe learn to talk to each other nicer.
Right.
And not
that's
be quite
good.
So contentious.
Yeah, I
hopefully.
Think, you know, it's literally been a hot summer. I mean, literally and physically and emotionally, mm-hmm. you know, been a hot summer. With heated words, heated thoughts, you know, frustration because things are quite not back to a bit where we wanted them to be. I'm not sure back. I never want to go back, but not where we had hoped we'd find ourselves this year, you know, this summer.
Right.
Because, you know, we have a variant raging. We have those, you know, who we have hospital, you know, so we're not experiencing like, you know, we're not experiencing so much here in New York yet. And thankfully.
Well, we are pretty well vaccinated, you know.
Yeah.
We're pretty well vaccinated. Yeah, I mean, I have a friend who mails me the CDC reports and stuff with New York's at 3.96, you know, which is, you know, we're infected, but we're not crazy. But this one supposedly, the old one gave 2 people the virus. This one apparently gives 5 people. The contagion rate is 1 to 5, so it really multiplies. So.
It's hard to
hard to watch, you know, you see, and I guess this one has a fifth of the kids, 20% of the people getting it are kids,
Of kids, Yeah, you know, I actually went to my first movie. I actually went to the theater yesterday morning.
Wow, what'd you go see?
Shang-Chi, you know, I had to see Marvel Cinematic Universe. I said, you know what, it was opening day, I got the opening show. And, you know, I said, shoot, I just need to, you know, see that. And I didn't realize I hadn't been to a movie in over a year, obviously, not in 2020. Mm-hmm. And I think the end of 2019, I guess, I can't remember what I saw last. But so that was nice. And, you know, just did a little bit of the gallivant. But I was like, wow, I just want to get out and about before, you know, now the weather's nice. I mean, the weather was just so awful for me. I just couldn't function in that humidity at all. I mean, when I had to go,
I
was just a puddle. I was not feeling it. It was very awful. Usually I manage heat well. This year, I did not manage heat well. I didn't go into my community garden maybe a couple of times because of you know, the weather conditions, either too hot, rainy, or too humid. Nope, just wasn't it. Wasn't doing it and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, and my first year, probably about, I don't know, 10 years in membership, but I didn't do anything in the garden. You know, I was like, nope. Wasn't the year for me.
So what happens then? Your plot, do you have plots in that, or is it more like everybody gets to plan everybody's stuff?
We have, each have individual boxes.
Okay.
Scattered around, but then we have other foliage and whatever else, so around, you know, so we have the community part of the troop community area, common area, I should say, and then we have our own boxes. And, I mean, I wasn't the only one that didn't plan a whole bunch. Some did, but I just, you know, and usually I'm in there caretaking and doing stuff.
Yeah,
it was just not in my in the cards for me, and I didn't force it. I mean, I'll probably go now that, you know, the weather is cooler and I'm finding myself even in a better mental state. I wasn't just up any Michigosh, you know what I mean, and stuff. So whatnot. So I'll be going in. I'm actually going to be there tonight, today for a little bit, and tomorrow afternoon. As a matter of fact, we're having a little gathering there. But I just need to get, you know, just what else is coming up? Because we had a lot of stuff happen this week.
Week we had the Mars opposite Neptune, and we did have it in the sky, but we also had it at by declination. And when that happens, they're at the same parallel above or below the equator, right? So in Pisces, they're below the equator. but they were contra-parallel to each other. You know, Virgo at the top, Virgo above the equator, Pisces below the equator, and they were fighting with each other. And when they're at the same declination, contra-parallel, and they're opposite, it amplifies it. So that's why that storm was so nasty, you know, that we had with the flooding here in New York and New Jersey. You know, I'm working at my desk, and I'm sitting at the kitchen. You know, I left the kitchen window open, so I had water all over the floor. But I had all these people going, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm like, yeah, why would I be? You know, and I didn't realize this is like pile of water had come, and the subways were closed, and, you know, people were drowning in their basements, and, you know, I kind of worked right through it. You know? Are you all right? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine, you know. And then I, why is everybody asking me this? So I looked at the news, and I'm like, oh, wow, it was bad out there, you know. So
It was,
Hurricane Ida came through. Yeah.
We had, you know, it's
huge
interesting.
Flooding.
That's like, you know, people, you know, and it was, they did say we're going to have, I got to give the weather report. They said, listen, this is not not Sam Champion, but another guy with CBS Channel 2. He's also a blonde man, but very handsome. And he said, this is going to be a strong storm. He said, do not, take sleep it because it doesn't have hurricane or tropical storm attached to it. It has a power force to it, you know. And he was going over and, you know, he's saying because, you know, because we had a cold front ahead of it. And it also, there was a lingering front that it met, that the remnants of Ida met up with, and then she gained a little bit more power and decided to, okay, I'm going to soak everything. Yeah, and that's what happened. So, and then, you know, we even had a tornado warning. I know I had that loud blast that came over my phone and everything that said, so I grabbed Vesta and I said, let's go into the middle room and, you know, you've seen and just sit there. So.
I mean, I missed a tornado warning, too. Wow, okay.
Yeah,
Rima, we could have blown away like Dorothy.
You guys
have been I mean, I just worked. I mean, I feel a little like I was stupid. I missed it. But, I mean, I paid attention when it hit Louisiana. You know, I'm like, oh, my God. But then, you know, then I'm like, all right. You know, and I had a guy who was coming over to do some work on my computer. And he wrote and said, hey, we're not going to do it Wednesday. Why don't we move it to Friday? I'm like, okay. And obviously, he was paying attention to the rain too. You know,
yeah.
So I kind of feel like I was in a little Neptunian fog on that one.
Yeah, that's okay.
But,
you know.
Yeah, you know, Anne's just not really quite here in the world right now. She's off doing whatever she's doing. So.
But, you know, that's the rest of us from last week. I just feel I felt that, you know, I think when I was cooling down, I did have a pretty busy webinar, double webinar. Thing, you know, I had like dueling webinars where I had early morning because of Europe, and then I had late night because of mountain time. You know what I mean? So,
right.
And then, you know, and then the weather and so on. So just now, do I feel like I'm actually able to think clearly and breathe and, you know, and function because I'm not overheating or, you know, and so on. So
yeah,
this is
I'm in a good
nice
space.
Good thing.
Well, I
have
to say, I like the fall. I mean, it's my favorite season
of all
of them.
You know, I typically like the summer too, but not this one.
Mm-hmm.
So, and speaking of, so we have is Neptune active next week? Because Neptune's in Pisces. I saw something about that, right?
Yeah, Neptune's in Pisces.
He's
and of course Pisces is the ocean and the water, and you know we've been getting a lot more water stories. And then last week, Sedna, the ocean goddess, quit stationed. She stopped and went retrograde. And you know, I had one of my friends. He's kind of a client, but he's a friend. But he's got a really funny sense of humor. He goes, okay, so is Sedna having wild sex or something? Is that why we had this storm? And I'm like, yeah, I guess. And I was like, she is the ocean goddess, and when she first was discovered, she was tsunamis. You know, the first that Boxing Day tsunami in Indonesia was about a month and a half after she was discovered. And I remember looking at the at that point I was writing a column every week, and I remember looking at it and going, oh wow, this is kind of big. And of course, it killed a couple hundred thousand people. And that was really the first. I mean, I'd heard the word tsunami, but I never really thought, you know, it wasn't a part of my conscious thought.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And now when you watch everything just get washed away, you know.
Yeah. And I know you got to go, but a couple more things. One, happy birthday to all the September, all the Virgo people, everyone.
All the Virgo babies, yes.
And that includes you. That includes you, Anne. That includes you.
Yes, me too. I'm a Virgo. Next weekend, Rose's play is on my birthday, and I have a good friend who died a couple years ago, and they're sprinkling her ashes in Maine. So Ellen's going to be sprinkled. Yeah, she's a Virgo too. Her birthday is this week. But she died a couple years ago, and of course with COVID they didn't get a chance to bury her. But her partner wrote and said, "I know, you know, she loved you a lot, and it's really nice. We're sprinkling her on your birthday." I'm like, "Oh, that's nice, you know." So it's kind of an intense week with this grand trine in Earth. And Mars trine Pluto in Earth, and Mars is also in conjunct Jupiter, which often says, I have to make an adjustment I'm not 100% sure I want to make.
Okay,
so
I can
everybody
ask you a question about that, Anne.
Yeah.
In conjunct, I know what conjunct means, you know, hand in hand, doing good. Is in conjunct the same thing? It's not the same as an opposition. I get in conjunct and opposition confused.
Opposition is direct, straightforward, I look at you and I like you. We're exactly opposite on the table. In conjunct, if we think of the opposition being seven, you know, I right or direct, in conjunct's a little to the right or a little to the left of a direct opposition.
Gotcha.
So you have to kind of turn to look at them. You have to adjust your head to meet their eyes.
One of them feels
Virgo-y, you know, like I have to make a physical adjustment to stuff. The other one feels Scorpio. I have to make a psychological adjustment to stuff. So this one is a psychological adjustment. Because Jupiter's a slower moving planet, Mars is in a Scorpio shape. And what happens with in conjuncts is they don't agree. Jupiter is in fixed air. Mars is in mutable Earth. So Earth and air don't get each other. Fixed doesn't get mutability. So Mars is going to make some kind of change or adjustment.
Okay.
They don't. They're just arguing. It's also called a quincunx because it's a 5/12 of the circle, as opposed to a full opposition. So it has this adjusting energy to it. Like I have to adjust something. Yeah. When you stand up, you have to adjust your pants. So this is the planets look at each other and go, I don't really get you, and you need to change. No, you need to change. So then they have a little argument until they agree about how to change. So think of the imagery of three planets, if we're looking at a finger of God, because it's two in conjuncts, right? You know, three people pushing on a desk, and they're all pushing in different directions until one person says, hey, all let's push this way. 1, 2, 3, go. When they do that, they fly through the air at 90 miles an hour. When they are just arguing, it tends to be kind of a state of anxiety or a state of psychological discord.
Very well done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They're powerful little puppies. Yeah.
Yes.
So this one is a psychological adjustment. You know, Jupiter saying Mars, you know, you saying you want that, you need to change because you're not getting it unless you change.
And
Mars is also in conjunct Eris, so Eris is the other leg of the finger of God. So, like, you're all mad and angry about this. Well, go ahead and change. So the energy I was saying earlier where my friend, you know, was at a party, and in her case, it was another planet going through there, and this woman started arguing with her about masks or about vaccinations. She's like, look, I don't want to talk to you about it. And the woman was, like, fouling around and yelling at her. And she's like, stop it. We're at a pool party. And then the woman's sitting in the side glaring at her to the point where the hostess went over and said to the woman, you know, you need to, like, take a chill pill, you know? You can agree to disagree, you know, but that whole back to agree with me, you know, that energy is it's a little contentious,
But
it's also, like, I'm contentious enough that I'm not going to stay and fight with you. I'm going to go do what I want to do. So it's very much an energy of, okay, I'm out of here. I'm not doing this.
Or not engaged.
Big breakup week.
She didn't want to engage. Oh, big breakup week. Okay. All righty.
I've tried to get you to do what I want you to do, and you haven't done it, so now I'm leaving.
Now we're done. Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's Red Butler saying to Scarlett O'Hara, frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn, and slamming the door and going out. It's got Mars and Virgo, I've tried. I've tried to make this work, and now I am done. You know, it's a very...
I have found myself uttering that a few times in the last couple of weeks. Franklin, my dear. I always start with Franklin, my dear, or you know what I mean? Or there's another one I like to use, which is very rude, but two tears in a bucket, and the rest of it is a little bit rough.
Say it again.
It's a quote from the movie Midnight in the Garden of Good and Evil, and the characters, Lady Chablis, she's talking to John, I can't remember his name, Totoro, I think, and her friend had just got murdered, so he's saying, oh, I know you feel bad, I know you're really hurting, and blah, blah, blah. She goes, you know what, John? Two tears in a bucket, mother blanket. You know what I mean? The way she did
right.
It was like, yeah, you know, it is rough, but, you know, two tears, cry a couple of tears in that bucket, and, you know, to me, it was like, move it on, you know, so.
Right.
I quote that.
I like that. That's
Frankie
a great
one.
I've never heard that quote before.
Yeah, that's one that, you know, you'll hear if you're around me, because I was in the theater when I heard that, and I screamed. It was so wonderful. I said, ooh, that's a good one, you know. Two tears in a bucket. But okay, this is, I'm glad we had a lesson, everybody who's listening. We've had a lesson from Anne on inconjunction and mystic rectangles and hard rectangles. I never heard of a hard rectangle. Thank you for that.
Yeah, it's two semi-squares and two sesquiquadrates, so it's stressful.
Okay.
But it makes you take action. It's just, you know, it's kind of like an underlying stress. You know how, like, those days where you're just feeling that there's this little from underneath? That's a hard rectangle, yeah.
Okay, good. Are you going to review Sedna in your presentation at all, or?
Who am I going to review who?
Sedna.
No, because she's a planet. She's a dwarf planet. She's not in the asteroid.
Oh, she's a dwarf planet. That's what it is. Okay, gotcha.
But her mythology is interesting. She was an Inuit goddess, and her father married her off, and she was courted by, you know, a crook, basically, a bad guy. And so he brought her, and she was living on a rock on a cliff in the Arctic Ocean. And he was an eagle. He turned an eagle. You know, he wasn't, or some kind of vulture-y bird, maybe a different thing than an eagle. But anyway, he was not a nice guy. Not a nice guy, not a nice bird. She's living on a rock in the ocean. And so she pleads to her father to come rescue her. So he comes to get her, and he's in the boat, and the eagle has obviously powers. So he makes this huge storm happen because the father's escaping with the daughter. And so the father throws her overboard into the water and got the ocean still going. So then the father cuts off her fingers where she's hanging onto the boat. And she descends into the ocean and she drowns. And her fingers become the seals and the porpoises and the walruses and the whale of the ocean. They become the fish. So when the Inuit would go to hunt the fish, the shamans would go down and they would comb her hair because she didn't have any fingers and ask her permission to help them harvest her fingers from the sea. And she gave it to them. But it's sacrificial. You know, it's a very sacrificial story. So where Sedna is active in your chart tends to be where you are sacrificed, you get your fingers cut off and, you know, they feed other people. She's not got a nice mythology. I mean, I appreciate Mike Brown, the jet propulsion guy, trying to get more women up there, but he's picking some real, real busting butt myths, you know, women that did not have a great time up in the goddess pantheon, so. But she's an Inuit sea goddess.
Okay.
So whenever she's active, we see the sea, so she's stationed. And one of the things they said that the Grand Island place in Louisiana had six feet of sand deposited on it, you know.
Sure
and
did.
And, of course, Sedna's in Taurus, so the ocean brought the sand to brought Earth to it, you know.
Okay. I'm reading a note here on Instagram that one of our followers and friends has a dog named Vesta, as I have my cat named Vesta, and her little Vesta is sick. So hope best wishes that
the we'll say prayers for Vesta.
For Vesta.
Yeah.
And, you know, to have it's always nerve-wracking to have one of our furry companions, a feathered, that is ill, because, you know, you want them to talk. I always tell my cats, like, you know English. Come on, talk to me by now. Come on, you know, I know you can talk. I won't tell anybody. If you just start talking, I promise I won't tell anybody. But Anne and everybody else, but I won't tell anybody.
Right. Totally.
So everyone stay safe. There's a holiday
weekend. Yeah, have a good Labor Day,
and Rosh Hashanah is coming up also.
Yeah.
So for those celebrating the Jewish New Year, there's a New Year there to celebrate. So everyone could take advantage of another New Year and a new moon. So
I always like Rosh Hashanah. I always like to try and have a second New Year. Yeah.
Me too. Exactly.
I like taking advantage of all the holidays. I'm like, hey, it's a holiday. What's it about? I can celebrate that, or I can do that. I'm good for a happy New Year. And also, this is the anniversary. You know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg died on Rosh Hashanah, right before the book was opened to write Who's Going to Be Here. Yeah, and so here we are a year later, and we have this abortion bill.
We got some more battles.
May we all be inspired by her fight for women's rights.
Yeah, and women need to, more women, not saying we don't, more women need to stand up for themselves and claim their rights. My thing about certain things, I won't go into that. But anyhow, everyone have a great holiday. You and Anne have a great time. Don't work too hard. I know you're busy probably this weekend working and stuff.
Yeah, I'm working this weekend.
But,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yes, that's good. People getting ready for the new school year and the new work year, and stuff. So
yep.
I even have a few people who called me because I think everyone's having a little agitation about going back to work full time and the kids going to school.
Yeah.
A little bit of a mixed bag with that, so.
Hopefully the kids stay safe. Better. We don't have a lot of it here in New York, but I mean, there's a lot of schools where the kids are really getting sent home and closed and tarred.
Absolutely.
So they've had a hard time of it. All their lives have been so disrupted the last 2 years. So,
I
just hope it can help. I just think about, like when I was younger and I was teaching, I would say to, I was teaching math, right? And I started computers, and then they got me teaching other things. So I was teaching a math class, and I said to them, okay, how many of you guys have trouble with math? And, everybody raised their hand.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay, think about where you have trouble, fractions, long division, multiplication. Where do you have trouble? Which category?
Right.
And then I laid out what age you were at when you learned those, sixth grade, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. And I said, now think of what's going on in your family when you were that age.
Mm-hmm.
That was the age you were supposed to learn fractions. And what was going on, write it down. And, it was, parents got divorced, we didn't have a job, my father didn't have a job. There was some kind of stress.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I said, now that took away, you were focusing on the stress, you weren't focusing on the math. So I want you to come in with a fresh mind and learn the math, because you were interrupting them.
Yeah.
That was a really critical time to your development. And I think of all these kids that had this whole year kind of taken away, which interrupted whatever they were supposed to learn, or affected it deeply. Maybe they didn't learn it because they were homeschooled, or online or whatever. So, it's going to be an interesting phenomenon to see how these kids all roll through the world.
Yeah, I think in our new moon blessings and thoughts and meditations to keep the people of Haiti and Louisiana and Alabama and Mississippi and all those impacted, all those children in Afghanistan, Afghani children and so on, because those children, this is something massive for them to process. There's, luckily, they have resilient spirits. Many of us who've been through things in our youth, we've managed, but a little extra anytime we can give them send a little bit of a burst of love and energy to help them on their way would be helpful.
Totally.
Yeah, be most appreciated. All right, hugs to everybody. Hugs to you, Anne.
Big hugs to you and Vesta. Remo and I say hi. He just left. I think he wants his food. I got myself a cup of coffee and ran in here to do the podcast, and I didn't feed him yet. So he followed me in here and kind of was sitting looking at me. I'm like, all right, I know I forgot to feed you. I'll be right out. So I will now go feed the boy.
I'm
good
for
next week.
Okay, so
it'll be my birthday. We can have everybody sing happy birthday to me on Instagram.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll do that. So everybody, same bat place, same bat time for Anne's birthday celebration / Instagram and podcast tomorrow. Next Saturday.
I'm going to be 67, Jemija. I'm going to be an old fart.
No way.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. Okay. Well,
and I like to reverse the numbers, but when I do that, I'm 76, so I'm not so sure I want to reverse this year. You know, like this week, this year I was 56. This year I was 66, so it didn't reverse. But next year it gets older. So
I'm 46.
What are you gonna do?
I'm 46 then. Okay, so I'm 46.
I know
this year.
It's nice. Yeah,
good.
That was a good year.
Right.
That was a good year.
Yeah. All right. Everyone,
all right, honey. Big hugs.
You
lots of love. Have a great weekend. Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye, everyone. Bye-bye, Anne.